I should have spoken with more respect, said Bean.
Damn right, said Fly.
But so should you.
Fly lunged against the grip of the boys holding him.
Talking about Wigan, said Bean,
you spoke without respect.
Everybody knows it's loser strategy to divide your army.
He got Fly's intonation almost exactly right. Several kids laughed. And grudgingly, so did Fly.
Okay, right, said Fly.
I was out of line. He turned to Nikolai. But I'm still an officer.
Not when you're dragging a little kid off his bunk, you're not, said Nikolai. You're a bully when you do that.
Fly blinked. Wisely, no one said a thing until Fly had decided how he was going to respond.
You're right, Nikolai.
To defend your friend against a bully. He looked from Nikolai to Bean and back again.
Pusha, you guys even look like brothers.
He walked past them, heading for his bunk. The other toon leaders followed him.
Crisis over.
Nikolai looked at Bean then.
I was never as squished up and ugly as you, he said.
And if I'm going to grow up to look like you, I'm going to kill myself now, said Bean.
Do you have to talk to really big guys like that?
I didn't expect you to attack him like a one-man swarm of bees.
I guess I wanted to jump on somebody, said Nikolai.
You? Mr. Nice Guy?
I don't feel so nice lately.
He climbed up on the bunk beside Bean so they could talk more softly.
I'm out of my depth here, Bean. I don't belong in this army.
What do you mean?
I wasn't ready to get promoted. I'm just average. Maybe not that good. And even though this army wasn't a bunch of heroes in the standings, these guys are good. Everybody learns faster than me. Everybody gets it, and I'm still standing there thinking about it.
So you work harder.
I am working harder. You just get it right away, everything. You see it all. And it's not that I'm stupid. I always get it too, just a step behind.
Sorry, said Bean.
What are you sorry about?
It's not your fault.
Yes, it is, Nikolai.
Come on. You telling me you wish you weren't part of Ender Wiggin's army?
Nikolai laughed a little.
He's really something, isn't he?
You'll do your part.
You're a good soldier. You'll see.
When we get into the battles, you'll do as well as anybody.
Eh, probably.
They can always freeze me and throw me around.
The big lumpy projectile weapon.
You're not so lumpy.
Everybody's lumpy compared to you.
I've watched you.
You give away half your food.
They feed me too much.
I've got to study.
Nikolai jumped across to his bunk. Bean felt bad sometimes about having put Nikolai in this situation. But when they started winning, a lot of kids outside of Dragon Army would be wishing they could trade places with him. In fact, it was kind of surprising Nikolai realized he wasn't as qualified as the others. After all, the differences weren't that pronounced. Probably there were a lot of kids who felt just like Nikolai. But Bean hadn't really reassured him. In fact, he had probably reaffirmed Nikolai's feelings of inferiority.
What a sensitive friend I am.
There was no point in interviewing Valescu again, not after getting such lies from him the first time. All that talk of copies and him the original. There was no mitigation now. He was a murderer, a servant of the father of lies. He would do nothing to help Sister Carlotta. And the need to find out what might be expected of the one child who evaded Valescu's little holocaust was too great to rely again on the word of such a man. Besides, Valescu had made contact with his half-brother or double cousin. How else could he have obtained a fertilized egg containing his DNA? So Sister Carlotta should be able either to follow Valescu's trail or duplicate his research. She learned quickly that Valescu was the illegitimate child of a Romanian woman in Budapest. A little checking, and the judicious use of her security clearance, got her the name of the father, a Greek-born official in the League who had recently been promoted to service on the hegemon's staff. That might have been a roadblock, but Sister Carlotta did not need to speak to the grandfather. She only needed to know who he was in order to find out the names of his three legitimate children. The daughter was eliminated because the shared parent was a male, and in checking the two sons, she decided to go first to visit the married one. They lived on the island of Crete, where Julian ran a software company whose only client was the International Defense League. Obviously, this was not a coincidence, but nepotism was almost honorable compared to some of the outright graft and favor trading that was endemic in the League. In the long run, such corruption was basically harmless, since the International Fleet had seized control of its own budget early on and never let the League touch it again. Thus, the Polemarch and the Strategos had far more money at their disposal than the hegemon, which made him, though first in title, weakest in actual power and independence of movement. And just because Julian Delphiki owed his career to his father's political connections did not necessarily mean that his company's product was not adequate and that he himself was not an honest man. By the standards of honesty that prevailed in the world of business, anyway.